With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, live from the Bright Complex. Kevin Sullivan joining us. Sean's here too, by the way.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's get our priorities.
Sammy gets first billing.
Yes, he should.
Sammy gets first billing.
As he should.
I might have some things to do today. So
I'm walking around with Alan Cannon coming in this morning, yeah. Right? And I go, and every time I see this place, it's like, you guys had another building? Or what? It's unbelievable. And the only thing I said, it's unbelievable. All he said was, that's Sammy. I'm not blowing a smoke here for you because I wouldn't do that, but that's completely true. You came in here, you had to move to the SEC, and you had to build all of this. You're the transition coach.
Well, I don't know. A lot of this wasn't here. You know, the first thing we did was complete the Davis Center, and which is everything we started off with was about player development. So. Strength and conditioning, we were a little bit behind in our facility and, you know, have one of the best ones in the country, you know.
It's beautiful.
And it's very, very functional, and everything's close. And then we moved on, and obviously the stadium was another big piece, which everybody talks about, where you guys were last year on opening day here. Mm-hmm. But being over here, really the last pieces were what was important for player development, and it was about our training room, you know, cold tubs, hot tubs, things like that, and increase that facility to get, you know, maximize what we can do to really help our players develop, stay healthy. The locker room, which got completed next. The last thing I got done was the coaches' offices. So, you know, we were all over the place with locker rooms and scattered for about a couple years, but it's all completed now. And it's, like I said, it's impressive. There's a lot of bells and whistles here, but there's also a lot of functionality, and everything's really close. Our academic center, locker room, players' lounge. Once guys get in this building, you know, they go to class and they hang around here. Our C. Slocum Nutrition Center. It's what we wanted, so guys are comfortable around here and being close to football.
Coach, how far off am I when I say that it's important when you're hiring your staff, obviously your coordinators and the assistant coaches, but haven't we got to the point now we're hiring a strength? You mentioned the new facility, the strength and conditioning center in the weight room. Aren't we at the point now where that's one of the most important hires you make as a head coach?
There's no doubt, you know, because of the amount of time that the strength and conditioning staff is able to spend with our guys. You know, you can do a lot in 15 days of practice in the spring, but then, you know, our assistant coaches are out and gone recruiting basically the whole month of May or late April through May, and so that period of time where, you know, who's going to talk to them, who's going to handle 105 guys, and then you know, just about everybody now has all their players for summer school. All of our guys take summer school, so in the month of June and July, we don't have an opportunity to really go coach guys. You know, our 7-on-7s are led by quarterbacks and Armani Watts and Donovan Wilson. But, you know, we've got 30 minutes. The way we do it, we've got 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, where we have 30 minutes with the players of classroom time. And then they'll go out on the field and we'll have a team run, but then – They are the guys that are running the 7-on-7. So our strength and conditioning guys have them more than we do as coaches, and to develop that kind of attitude, that toughness, you know, and it's more than just conditioning. It's mental conditioning, and that's why Mark Hockey and his staff, you know, we were able to hire four other guys that he handpicked, and they've done an outstanding job since he's been here in January.
Kevin Sumlin, head coach, your Aggies right here on ESPN 97.5. This whole thing started, I mean, the first Touchdown Club luncheon I hosted, you were pounding on the table, 83,000-seat stadium ain't good enough in the SEC.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, it just ain't good enough.
That's not what I
said. And now you got the biggest stadium in the SEC, right?
Exactly.
But it wasn't enough, and you had to do all of this stuff. But my question is it more, how much more CEO are you than you thought? You had different challenges at University of Houston and here. Are you more, is it more CEO stuff than you thought?
You know, I don't, it's just, you know, when you deal with, you know, we've got, to use the term former students, there's 440,000 across the world. And as we call former students or alumni, it's just different. You know, there's a lot of folks, and you're able to generate a lot of revenue because of that. There's some other issues. There's a lot of opinions because of that too. But you know, you deal with that. It's on a different scale because I was involved in at Houston and really, you know, going before the student body, the council, and talking about, you know, really controversial situation of increasing tuition, you know, to try to get the stadium built. And so, you know, everything's got its challenges. But, you know, certainly here, I think it was a little bit of an advantage because I was coming into a new situation and hadn't been here in a while and when it was the Big 12. So I got a lot of questions about the transition from the Big 12 to the SEC. Well, for me, it was transitioning from Conference USA to that. And I'd spent 2 years here and 5 years at Oklahoma in the Big 12. So I had a pretty good idea, you know, of what that league was about. But, and you know, we played Mississippi State twice at Houston,
right?
Yeah. And so, you know, it was you're still trying to gauge where you were because you hadn't really played, you know, Alabama or anybody like that. But you know, it's been a learning experience. But I think our recruiting, our philosophy, what we're looking for, how we're doing things has changed a lot over the last 5 years, and hopefully those results will bear themselves out.
Coach, on the field, when will you know during this camp that a quarterback grabs you around the throat and wins the job?
You know,
because we don't have preseason games.
We don't have preseason games. Although the NCAA, you've heard me complain about, has now extended the college. It makes no sense.
Right.
So we don't have travel days.
Don't get me started on them.
you got two things. They're pushing a 14-week schedule, and we've extended. You know, we're getting closer to pro camp, except we don't have the travel days that the you know, play against somebody else, and then recovery time. We have to create that. We're looking at each other for to give you an example. Last year, we opened the same day, September 3rd. We started camp August 7th. So, you know, we're a few days early, and we could have probably started the way the calendar worked out July 31st, you know, which I don't know that we've got summer school going on right now. All our guys are in class right now, and then it's not really camp because it's more like spring practice this first couple of weeks because school is going on. So back to your question about quarterbacks, you know, we've set the schedule. We've got two big scrimmages and then some mini-game scrimmage type situations.
Like 11-on-11, right.
On Thursdays and then the big scrimmages. We're actually practicing on Sunday for the first time in my career, but because we're playing on Sunday in L.A. So we'll have four real opportunities that besides practice, besides this statistics, you know, and everything else. And then, you know, you got to have a feel for, you know, who can handle the team with live bullets. And, you know, we've got more starts coming back offensively in our offensive line than we did last year, even though, you know, we lost two tackles. But we got more starts, more experience. And we've got two proven running backs in you know, Keith Ford and Travion, who's, you know, believe it or not, he's the only true freshman in the history of Texas A&M to rush for 1,000 yards. And there's been some pretty good running backs.
Yeah, you think? Yeah.
So that tells you how talented he is. And you know, Christian Kirk on the outside and some really good young receivers. So, you know, whoever this is doesn't have to be really flashy. They've got to be able to, for the first time, they can – our offense is – is built to be right now really quarterback friendly because of the two running backs, because of Christian Kirk's dynamic ability, and whether it's in, you know, short, quick game or handing it to him or getting it screens or things like that. But, you know, whoever it is going to have to be a guy that I think grabs a hold of the team. And in those situations, gives us the best chance to keep the ball. And I know this sounds really simple, but not give it to the other team.
Well, it sounds similar to the guy sitting home. When 100,000 are yelling at you, it's a whole different ballgame. That's right.
Yeah. So we got enough talent on the perimeter and enough talent around him that he doesn't have to be,
drive the bus instead of carry it.
That's right. That's right.
The SEC media days and whatever happened there, the entire off season, man, you get to play, you get back to football instead of all the crap crappy questions that people ask you.
You mean like, hey, Kevin, did you know that there's pressure?
Is there any pressure?
What a shock.
I mean, good Lord. I made the case that there's a hell of a lot more pressure at U of H. There's a hell of a lot more pressure as an offensive coordinator trying to get that head coaching job, all of that stuff. Yeah, I mean, you have pressure every year.
There's pressure in high school. There's pressure everywhere.
Yeah, like the story I told at the media days. You know, when you got a Fiero and the thing, you know, you're coaching in Wyoming and you're making $19,000.
That's pressure.
That's pressure. That's real pressure.
Yeah, right.
Just to get
what
the
did Lee Trevino say when you have a bet?
Yeah.
$20 bet, you only got $5 in your pocket.
Yeah, that's right. But no, that comes with the territory. And you don't coach at this level or any level, really, you know, because I talk to high school coaches. I talk to, you know, there's particularly in this state, you know, all you got to do is read the transactions in the high school level in this state. You know, guys are I usually send a note, a sheet to every new high school coach in the state, you know, that gets another job. And I don't know. I bet there was between all those different levels, it was in the triple digits, you know,
really?
Across the state. Oh, yeah, where guys are either moving on or doing this or doing that. And so at this level or, you know, at any level, you know, that's all part of it. You know that getting into it. And but, you know, for me, like I said, you know, it's every team's different. And, you know, when you get in that room like we had yesterday and our first team meeting, in a reporting deal, the energy's great. You got a bunch of, you know, we signed between January and last month, we signed 29 players. We got 29 new guys out of 85 scholarships, more than a third of our team's brand new. And, you know, with that comes a different energy and a different expectation. I think what's really interesting is how, and the reason that this is, we're excited to get out there today, is how our older guys have embraced these guys. You know, and there can be some animosity when you have that many new guys because you know a bunch of them are going to play. And, you know, I think it's us sitting down in the off season and saying, hey, listen, we need as many guys to play as we can. And maybe you playing, you know, 50 snaps a game, 45 to 50, can help us in November instead of you playing 70 and 75 snaps a game. And in order to do that, you got to help these young guys get ready to go. And the Armani Watts and the Donovan Wilsons and the Christian Kirks and even Travion, you know, after going through one season, you know, is explaining to the younger guys at their position, hey, look, we need to get you ready. You know, sometimes less is better for me to be and extend my career, extend our energy level through the season. And I think our players have bought into that, and I think that's another great thing that Mark Hockey's done this summer.
Mm-hmm. You know, Travion was here, and he said – your message was finish.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the message for this year?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of toughness and finishing. You know, and it's without a doubt that's something that I'm glad he said that too. So, mm-hmm.
No, he's thinking about it.
It's always good to know that people they're actually listening to you.
Well, when we were talking to him, and you know, we were talking to him about the Tennessee game and the strip, and I said, you know, what did the coaches say to you? Because Clarence had told us what he said. And mm-hmm. and he said, not only did Coach McKinney tell me, forget that because I need you. You came over and hugged him and said, hey, put that away.
Yep.
We need you.
Yep.
And a lot
that
of coaches.
Game, he needed a lot of it. Yeah.
Well,
I was here for that.
Well, and that would have iced a lot of that coaches would have lit him up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you said, no. I still need you.
Yeah.
And let's finish.
Let's finish. And, you know, and that's a learning experience for a guy like that who's never been caught from behind, you know. So
right.
that's never happened to him. And I think that it's always good to know that they're listening to every detail and trying to make corrections, because he has stepped outside of himself in a sophomore season and really started to talk to the team and it's good for him. He's really an interesting guy. He wants to be great. You know, he's very, very coachable. And in those moments, and Sean, you know this, you guys know it, in those moments, there's 105,000 people screaming, and everybody knows you just screwed up. You don't need a whole nother deal. You know, there's times to yell and there's times not to.
Right.
And particularly with young guys like that who – you know, that can be a real confidence shaking deal, and so best thing to do is put him right back in there and go.
Sometimes the best time to yell is when things are going good.
Well, that's
when
there's no doubt. Good.
Yeah,
yep. There's no doubt.
You know, when you got here and you moved to the SEC, you had to change the team. You know, you weren't an SEC team ready team. With your recruiting over these 5 years now, do you feel like you've gotten there yet?
Yeah, I don't know. We recruiting different body types on defense. You know, we need to get bigger. We were very fortunate. There's one right there. That's what we're looking
for.
That's
a big body.
yeah. But we first got here. I mean, with the amazing stat, the first year, you know, we won 11 games. But I went back through the roster, and in the course of those 13 games, Our lineup only changed twice on defense. We had a total of 13 starters on defense to play the whole season. I can't tell you how many we went through last year.
Yeah.
But it takes a little bit of luck that way if you're going to do that. We were lucky the first year. And then by guys staying healthy, you know, out of that 11, 13, only 13 different starters. So we haven't been that fortunate. And lately, and so, you know, we're going to have to play more guys. And I think we have some depth now in our defensive front and our secondary. So that's why this will be interesting. Our coaches meeting yesterday, you know, the first 3 days, I'm not concerned about who's, you know, there are ones, twos, threes. I'm not real concerned. I'm concerned about guys playing and us repping them and getting them out there so they can get comfortable, so that when we get to these live situations, they know what they're doing and we can get a better evaluation on them. And then after the next 2.5 weeks, making some decisions about who the 65 guys are, we're getting ready to play the season with. And so this, you know, the way it works right now, we've got 2 days and basically helmets, you know, just what I call underwear. You got, you know, just shirts and shorts and there'll be a couple guys look really good then. Then we'll put the shoulder pads on, and a couple guys will disappear. Then we'll put the full stuff on, and you won't see a guy for a whole year. I mean, they just completely disappear. So it's a really interesting process, and that's why I tell guys, hey, let's practice, but let's not get excited tonight after practice or tomorrow after practice. Let's wait till Wednesday when the newness wears out and the new shoes, and it's 100 degrees, and we got full pads on, and somebody gets – hit in the mouth. It takes a little while for him to get back.
Yeah, Coach, it's interesting. I don't remember if I was talking to Willie Taggart or Mike McIntyre last week. I can't remember which coach it was. And we were talking, and he'd asked me, he goes, what's the best way you put your quarterbacks when you're working with them? It's hard to simulate in a pair of T-shirt and shorts, you know. But even then is chaos.
Yes.
The chaotic part of, like you said, ooh, my philosophy, that's why I hate the combine, no offense,
right,
as I've told you, John. If you can't complete 50 of 55 in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt in an indoor facility, you ain't very good,
right.
Okay? So it's the same matter. You get jacked up and excited with the guy can throw it, and you mentioned. So how important is it for you to put your, not just your quarterback, but, heck, blitz pickup with your running back,
yep,
or how to block downfield for a wide receiver in a chaotic 11-on-11, right. You can't kill them,
right,
but you got to put them in 11-on-11 as often
as
possible.
No doubt, and particularly with the number of new guys we have.
Right.
So we've got to have evaluation. What we talk about today in the team meeting is, as a player, your role is to develop trust in the coaches, and then vice versa. You got to show us that you can do it. And you got to show us that you can do it at a high level as well as you can. Everybody's going to make mistakes.
On a daily basis.
Yes, I mean, on a daily basis. And so you've got to prove yourself. And, you know, we don't give things away here. There's nobody, you know, set in stone with what's going to happen. And so competition is your best friend. The other part of that is, you know, one of my big deals is getting coaches off the field. And, you know, this, the, just the simple thing of getting a signal, all right, and remembering what it is, and then articulating that to people. And, you know, we get a lot of stuff, and that's when I turn the music up a lot. So, guys, just stress them a little bit more to have to communicate at all the positions. And then, you know, every now and then with the guys, I'm standing right – I'm the only guy on the field back there, and I'm hollering, you know, 9, 8, 7. That is something that simple, just every now and then, just to see what a guy does, you know. Timeout. No, you don't call timeout. I call the timeout.
Right.
Don't you ever waste a timeout. So, you know, there's things like that that go on. But you don't want to jack with the quarterback. But you do have to put them in positions that they're uncomfortable with.
To tell a receiver to break the huddle and go to the wrong formation. Yep. So that young quarterback, say, no, we're in trips. You get over here.
Yeah.
And I tell this, you know how I feel. Yeah. I'm sure you know Denny Green. Oh, yeah. God rest his soul. Denny was exactly like you are about that.
Yeah.
Coaches, quit talking. Right. Get your ass off the field.
Yep.
Let these guys play. Let them deal with it. We'll worry about we'll coach after. Yeah. Let's get this. He wanted tempo. Yes. Stopping down. You don't have to coach.
Don't
overcoach. Get your butt to the sideline, and Denny will stand there, create chaos, and we'll keep playing.
That's right. And I think it's important. That's you know, I was at practice a bunch there and watched him in Minnesota.
Exactly.
And there's a lot to it. And, you know, you try to get it as close to game type situation, because you're not coaching. You're not on the field telling them what to do every time we break the huddle. They've got to communicate themselves. And we say this all the time here, you know, players play and coaches coach. And the sooner that we can get that figured out, all right, the sooner that our coaches and our players figure that out and we evaluate each other on that deal, you know, the better off your team's going to be.
You mean Noel can't throw a dig route?
No.
He could talk one.
He could talk.
Yeah, he sure can. Yeah. And he could design it, too.
He could design it, but you know what? That's how it works.
We got to go. We appreciate you. Thanks so much. A lot of good yes sirs this offseason, too. I like that.
Yeah,
a lot
it's
of
not
good
bad.
Yes sirs. Yeah. A lot of yes.
Yeah, in spite of everything we're talking about.
A lot of great yes sirs. Hey, we appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Best of luck.
Sonny.
Get back to football. Good stuff.
You're welcome anytime.
Kevin Sumlin right here. He's the boss here.
Appreciate it. Yeah, he's the boss. Well, boss cat. He's whatever he wants to be here. That's the man.
That's